Hello again there, folks. So a few weeks ago, I was on Mark. I did a live stream on Mark Collett's channel, and what in the conversation, I just sort of touched on this thing where Napoleon, everybody thinks he had this giant army and that he kind of just overwhelmed Europe. When in actual fact, especially in the early years, Napoleon fought outnumbered and won again and again and again. So I think this is something which resonates a lot with people in sort of dissident right circles, because I've had a bit of feedback from people asking how did he actually do that? Like, will you do a video on that? And I think it's nice, because one of the things I've noticed in modernity is that men have stopped thinking or taking an interest in military strategy, which is funny, because you can bet your bottom dollar that all of these PR departments and multinationals and politicians, they are reading Sun Tzu and Machiavelli, and they are looking at strategies and plans and things. Whereas in the dissident right, it's and I'm guilty of this as well. It's all about ideology and philosophy, and there's this sort of pragmatism about how you're going to, you've got a certain set of things that you need to achieve, and you've got to get from point A to point B. You've got a certain amount of resources. How are you going to do that? And my dad taught me to play chess, which I think is a good way to train the mind. And he, when I was a kid, and he beat me every week as well. He never ever let me win. And it's the same in the past. I've said that these war strategy games on computers are probably, the best thing. We complain about young lads wasting all of this time on computer games. If they're going to do it, I'd at least suggest playing a war strategy game, because they are then they're in. They get used to thinking in terms of having a certain set of resources and then having to plan out, while people are trying to wipe them out, what they're going to do and how they're going to deploy these units. So it trains the mind to think strategically and tactically, which I think is something which has been lost to the public. In the past, men would be much more interested in these things, but I think this sort of felt soft, feminized culture has meant that these things have fallen out of fashion and become just for neckbeards on the YouTube, or playing them tabletop games or whatnot. And in actual fact, there's a lot of good stuff for the brain in studying strategy and tactics. What I got into on that stream is actually a very simple maneuver, and I've put together a little very basic map here to do sort of explain the what I meant in a simplified form. Now, this in the military jargon, this strategy is called defeat in detail, but it's more commonly known as divide and conquer. When you have a smaller army or a group, and they're tightly coordinated, and they go up against a larger group, they will win. They will win if they can divide them. So this is essentially how somebody like Napoleon did it a lot. Stonewall Jackson in the American Civil War drove the Union nuts by doing this. He had inferior amount of men, but he won battle after battle by carefully selecting where he would fight. Rommel, the Desert Fox, favored these tactics as well. The Germans against the Romans. So this is what's called defeat in detail, and we can have a look at the map. So you can see here the blues are outnumbered by the reds. The reds are the baddies, of course. And then we can have a look at how, let's just do a basic thing where they just march straight up to the reds. They're flanked on both sides and then met man for man in the middle. They're going to get wiped out very quickly there. Let's just assume that they need to get to the corridor down at the bottom left there. Like, that's their objective, that's their aim. So then you can see they can try doing a mad dash, and then they're going to be blocked and then surrounded again and wiped out again. So it's back to the drawing board. So how, what then is the strategy? What would the masters do? Well, it would look something like this. Is what this is a very simplified version of what Napoleon did at the Battle of Austerlitz, which was to thin out his forces like that, which meant that the problem then is that he's still outnumbered. The Reds still have sufficient forces, which is to take him on, and they're also worried about being flanked when he spreads out his units like that. And so the next move for the Reds would be to move forward like that, which is a mistake, actually. But you can see the logic behind it, because if the two Red units hit the flank there, the one units, it is 2-1. That would be defeat in detail. That would it's weird, because he has actually divided his own forces from the off, the general of the Blues. But what Napoleon's actually done here is pulled a fast one and lured them into the trap, because he's trained his men to come back together really quickly and then knock out. So then this is the crucial point here, which is beyond just the divide and conquer. He's now got, he's outnumbered the Reds, he's unsurrounded them, and he's going to beat those two units. But this is the key here, is superior force at point of contact. So when you look at the battlefield as a whole, and again, I can see why people in small fringe political movements can take an interest in this, because when you look at the scale of the enemy, it seems to be overwhelming. And it's, where do you even begin with this? And the lesson that you can draw from here is that if you can then bring to bear overwhelming firepower or force on a weaker target because he's divided himself, then that's when you win. And you will, you can't win a set battle. You have to win smaller battles over and over and over again. And you can see that the results of that are that the battlefield is now, it's even Stevens as 4-4. But the problem that the Reds have got is that they are now divided, and the superior, again, at point of contact, it's 3-2. And then eventually the Blues are going to end up on the board with double the units of the Red, and the Reds are probably at that point going to run for it. Surprisingly simple, and obviously it's really simplified, and I've pushed my graphic skills to the limits. But in history, it happened again and again. And you can see from the earlier shot there how they can actually be lured into this trap. The key, of course, is that the enemy don't actually know what you're up to. But the point, I think, here is that you can win battles if you, it depends where you're going to deploy your force. It's not about that. It doesn't matter that they've got superior numbers. What matters is that you have superior numbers at the point of contact with the enemy, whoever he is and wherever he is. So just a quick video, a little something a little bit different there, and I'll catch you later, folks.